Today is Monday, December 15th, which means the Anuwim community is now officially 50 years and 1 week old. Last Monday we had a joyful and crowded celebration of our golden anniversary. Now, why do I mention that? Because when we were preparing for our golden anniversary, we decided to print a commemorative booklet. I hope everybody received a copy. And in the process of that preparation, I was asked to write a message, and I wanted to write a message for the occasion. It happened that as I was preparing for that, maybe some weeks before I even wrote the message, I ran across a passage in the Bible that mentions the word Anuwim twice. And it happens to be today's psalm. It comes from Psalm 25. Now, I'm sure you all read all the messages in the commemorative booklet, but you probably didn't notice that I mentioned today's psalm, Psalm 25. It's the last two verses of the psalm. Good and upright is the Lord. Thus he shows sinners the way. He guides the humble to justice. He teaches the humble his way. This translation uses the word humble. The original language is Anuwim. So it's good and upright is the Lord. Thus he shows sinners the way. He guides the Anuwim to justice. He teaches the Anuwim his way. And the reason I put that in my message for our 50th anniversary is because this is what we are celebrating, the Lord teaching us a way. Teaching the Anuwim a way, and we call it the Anuwim way. That's why we have pondering the word, the Anuwim way. It's a way of life. Well, the Lord is teaching everybody the way, not just the Anuwim, not just the poor, the lowly, the humble. He wants everybody to know the way. In fact, Jesus himself is the way. And he comes and reveals himself as the way, the truth, and the life. That's what we're preparing for, the coming of the Lord, both to celebrate his first coming and to prepare for his second coming. That's what Advent is all about. Prepare the way. Prepare for the way. It's all about the way. But if the Lord wants everybody to know the way, to know himself as the way, why does the scripture say that he guides the Anuwim in his way? He teaches the Anuwim his way. Well, he teaches everybody, because the only people who are willing to accept his way are those who are humble, those who are willing to submit. When we are not humble, when we're not listening, when we're not lowly, when we're not willing to submit to God, then we don't learn the way, because we think we have a better way ourselves. And unfortunately, this is very common. It's our part of our fallen nature. We think we know better than God. And so when God doesn't do what we want, we say, well, I'm going to do my own way. I'm going to go my own way. Frank Sinatra, of course, is the hero of that attitude. I did it my way. Now, what does that have to do with these scriptures? Well, here we have entered into the third week of Advent, and we break the pattern now. All of Advent we've been taking on weekday liturgies, taking the first reading from the prophet Isaiah and then showing the fulfillment of the prophecy in the gospel. But today we don't read from Isaiah. We read from the old book of Numbers, older than Isaiah, or at least of a time before Isaiah. We read this section about this mysterious prophecy of Balaam. Balaam is a strange figure. He's considered a prophet, and in today's reading he gives beautiful prophecies, but he's not 100% beautiful. He's not always a good example. But anyway, in this reading he is. And he describes himself as someone whose eye is true, who hears what God says, who sees what the Almighty sees, and raptured and with eyes unveiled. So he's describing himself as a prophet. someone who knows what God reveals, who and can communicate accurately what God wants us to know. That's what a prophet does. And so we have two parts of his prophecy. One, he sees the beautiful restoration of Israel, gardens and cedars and abundant fresh water. And we've read prophecies like this already in Advent. And then he says, his king shall rise higher and his royalty shall be exalted. So a prophecy of the coming of a king, that's the Messiah. He sees that the Messiah is going to come and come with an era of prosperity. His second prophecy or second oracle, this is the oracles of Balaam, is even more Advent-y, and we might say more fitting for the Advent season, because he says this, I see him, meaning I see the Messiah, I see the king who will come, I see him, though not now. I behold him, though not near. So I can see him from a distance. A star shall advance from Jacob, and a staff shall rise from Israel. Mention of a star makes us think of the Magi, right? How did the Magi find the Messiah? They followed the star. So this prophecy is usually connected to the arrival of the Messiah and the Magi following the star. So prophecies and the Magi come from a great distance. Remember, they are not Jews, but they see the star from a distance and they follow it. Image or examples of the journey of faith. Okay, good. These are examples of the Lord guiding the humble to justice. The Lord teaches the unknowing his way. Teaches from a distance. He teaches people who are seemingly far away from the Lord. I was chatting with some friends the other day about St. Carlo Acutis. I'm sure you know Carlo Acutis, recently canonized. His parents were not particularly religious. I don't think they were practicing. But Carlo, he was, what was it, born in 1991, was it, 92? He's a millennial. And typically, religious people think that the millennials don't have much religion, because often they don't. They're caught up in their computers, and caught up in their video games and social media. And he doesn't come from a religious family, and he's growing up in a very secular age, in secular Europe, and yet he sees the Messiah. He sees Jesus in the Eucharist. He has the eyes of faith, St. Carlo Acutis, and he's able to see, even though it would seem like he's at a disadvantage. No, because of faith, he can see. Oh, something like Balaam. Even though I live in a secular environment and I'm surrounded with people caught up in their computers, I can use the computer to see further. I can see Eucharistic miracles. So that's an Advent spirit, to be able to see, to be able to see from a distance, to be able to follow from a distance, to be able to read the signs and take advantage of them. That's what we see in the first reading. In the Gospel, we see the opposite, the sad opposite. It is the chief priests and elders of the people. Now we're in Holy Week here in this reading, and Jesus has driven the traitors out of the temple and made some very strong statements about how things are supposed to be. In other words, he's showing the way, he's revealing the way. He teaches the Anuim his way, but the chief priests and the elders are not interested in the way. They don't like what they're being told. They don't like being called to conversion. They don't like being humble. And so they come up with this question, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? You can tell clearly what they're thinking. They're the ones in authority, chief priests. They're the chief priests. They're the authorities in the temple. And they didn't give him authority, therefore he doesn't have authority to do these things. The blunt and direct answer to their question is, my Father in heaven. My Father in heaven gave me authority. He, in fact, He's the only authority I follow, and I'm going to follow him no matter what you think of it. So that Jesus could have said that. Of course, they wouldn't have accepted it, and he knows they would not accept it because they're not humble. So what does he do? He points them back to John the Baptist. This is brilliant, because John the Baptist was the one sent to prepare the way. So here's a group of people, chief priests and scribes. They're not ready. They're not prepared. So that means they haven't gained the advantage of John the Baptist. So Jesus says, oh, I can't just go and say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I can't say it to them. I can't say, I'm sent by the Father. I'm the Son of the Father. I'm here. I'm the Messiah. I can't reveal the whole picture to them. So I'll point them to John the Baptist, because John the Baptist had this mission of preparing people, and maybe they can accept John. Like a lot of people did. A lot of people accepted John and even thought John was, he might even be the Messiah. So he asks them a question. Well, where did John's baptism come from? Where did John get the authority to call people to repentance and to baptize them in the Jordan? Where did that come from? Great question. So obvious that John was a prophet, came from God. In fact, he was one of the most obvious prophets ever in human history. Everybody knew he was a prophet. He looked like a prophet, he sounded like a prophet, he dressed like a prophet. He did prophetic things, he was a man of God. We had that passage on, was it Saturday, when a description of Elijah as a man of fire. John the Baptist was a fiery prophet. But they realize, if they say that John was sent by God, if his baptism was of heavenly origin, then they would be guilty for not following him, not doing what he said, not repenting, not being humble. So they can't say the truth. On the other hand, they don't want to say he's merely of human origin, he just came up with this on his own. Because not only would they look stupid, but they would be rejected by everybody who knew the truth. So they say, we don't know. We don't know, meaning we're not going to take even one step in the direction of preparation. Jesus sees that and says, well, these people aren't ready to receive anything. Why bother telling them anything? And so he says, well, then I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to answer your question, because you don't really want to know the answer. What does it have to do with Advent? It's a reminder to us that we might not be prepared. We might not really want the way that the Lord teaches us. It's always a warning when we read about these religious authorities. They looked very religious. They sounded very religious. Probably if they lived in our times, they would probably participate in the whole Sembang Binomina. Very religious. Maybe even sit in the front pew. Sorry, I'm not pointing at anybody. No, I mean, that's what they were. But they were not ready. So we have to examine ourselves. Am I ready? Am I ready? Am I accepting the call to conversion? Am I accepting John the Baptist? Because if I'm not accepting John the Baptist and his mission, well, then I'm not ready to accept Jesus. It says it pretty well in this meditation in the Anuam Way booklet. The hardness of heart of the chief priests and elders was not directed only at Jesus. They did not accept John the Baptist either. In rejecting the one who was sent to prepare the way, they prevented themselves from being prepared. Okay, so Balaam is better prepared from centuries and centuries earlier. I don't know how many years. More than 1,000 years. And these chief priests are not prepared, and they're standing right in the face of Jesus. Now, we have advantages that Balaam didn't have and that the chief priests didn't have, because, first of all, we've been baptized, we have the gospel, we have the whole gospel proclaimed to us, we know Jesus died and rose again, we have the Holy Spirit. And yet, the liturgy is reminding us, no, we still have to prepare, we still have to be humble, because the Lord teaches everybody his way, but only the humble, only the little ones, the Anuim, are the ones who are ready to receive. The response says, teach me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. Make known to me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. When we say that from our hearts, God certainly does teach us his way.